here in Spain, it's the turn of Brett Hanson to sit in the hot seat. How are you doing, Brett?
I don't feel particularly hot at the moment, but happy to sit in a hot seat.
Okay, sorting the difference there, that's fine. No problems at all. Anyway, today I'm going to quiz him on the tricky subject of domicile, how it differs from tax residency, and why knowing what your status is so important for British expatriates living here. So, Brett, let's start with you explaining what tax resident is and what taxes that makes you liable for in Spain.
Okay, so someone is a Spanish tax resident if they meet any one of the three following requirements. First, if you spend more than 183 days here in one calendar year, i.e. from the 1st of January to the 31st of December. These days do not have to be consecutive, and in this situation, you become a resident whether or not you take out a formal residency and whether or not you are registered for tax purposes. Second, if your centre of economic interest is in Spain, meaning if the base for your economic or professional activities is here, or if most of your assets are located in Spain. And third, if your centre of vital interest is in Spain. Now, this one, Howard, has been known to catch people out in that someone can be spending less than 183 days here in Spain, but will still be regarded as a resident if their spouse and or dependent minor children live here. And if you are a Spanish tax resident, then you are normally liable to Spanish taxes on your worldwide income and assets. So, for example, your income from employment or pensions are liable to Spanish income tax. Interest and dividends on bank accounts and investments are liable to Spanish savings tax rates. If you sell an asset, whether it is a property or an investment, then this is liable to Spanish capital gains tax. And if you live in a region which has wealth tax, then your worldwide assets are liable to this tax. Plus, there is the solidarity tax. And likewise, if you receive an inheritance and you are a Spanish tax resident, then you could pay Spanish succession tax on this inheritance. And all of these taxes are not dependent upon the income gains inheritance being paid into Spain. The key to all of this is where you are tax resident, not where the assets or income is held or situated.
So what is domicile? How is it different from residence? And how does it affect taxation?
Well, Howard, domicile is a concept of UK common law and is an important issue for many British expatriates because someone remains liable to UK inheritance tax on their worldwide assets for as long as they are domiciled or deemed domiciled in the UK, even if they are resident in, say, Spain. So whether or not someone's estate will be assessed for UK inheritance tax depends on their domicile status rather than on their tax residence. And whilst residency is a transitory concept in that it is relatively easy to change one's residency, domicile is a different matter. And just to cover the tax rates and allowances, UK inheritance tax is payable at 40% on worldwide assets, but there is a nil rate band of £325,000 plus a £175,000 family home allowance if certain conditions are met. And any balance not used when the first spouse or civil partner dies can be passed to the survivor, potentially giving a couple a combined allowance of up to £1 million, depending on circumstances. But inheritance tax raises £7 billion per annum in the UK, and the Institute for Fiscal Studies believe that this figure will reach £15 billion and impact around 50,000 people per year in about a decade or so, largely because of increasing UK property prices. So just going back to domicile, the basic rule, Howard, is that a person is domiciled in the country in which they have their home permanently or indefinitely. The country you would regard as your homeland. The country frequently described as the place where you intend to die. You can live in Spain, but for many years still remain domiciled in the UK. And whilst it can be possible to change your domicile, it depends on your circumstances and intentions and should be a carefully considered and planned process.
What are the three types of domicile under UK law?
So you have domicile of origin, where UK common law assigns a domicile of origin to every individual at birth. It will be the domicile of your father or your mother's if she is single, and so it isn't necessarily the country of your birth. Then there is domicile of dependence. This applied to children, other legal dependents, and before the 1st of January 1974, also to women who married before this year. Now, women who married after the 1st of January 1974 do not assume the domicile of their husband, and so this now only applies to children and other dependents. And the final type of domicile is domicile of choice, where any individual who has legal capacity can acquire this form of domicile.
So how does one acquire a domicile of choice in Spain?
Yeah, there are two elements to acquiring a domicile of choice in Spain, Howard. First, you must be physically present and tax resident in your new country. And the second is that you intend to live there permanently or indefinitely. Since HM Revenue and Customs could examine your intentions to look for indications that you still see Britain as your homeland and may return in the future, you really need to sever as many ties as possible with the UK in order to acquire a domicile of choice. And even if you take all the steps to adopt a domicile of choice outside of the UK, there is the general rule that it can take at least 4 years to shed a UK domicile for inheritance tax purposes.
Once you've taken all these steps, what happens? Will HM Revenues and Customs confirm your domicile status?
Unfortunately, Howard, HM Revenue and Customs will not agree to an individual's domicile status unless a significant tax liability is an issue, which is normally when you die. And in such a situation, you will therefore not be dealing with this yourself, and it will be your heirs and or executor who has to prove to HM Revenue and Customs that your estate should not be liable to UK inheritance tax.
Does HMRC often query someone's domicile status for inheritance tax purposes? How do you, or your family probably, prove that you are not a UK domicile?
Yeah, they have been known to query it, and I can give you examples of the types of information they've requested for evidence during domicile inquiries. Some are quite basic, such as date, place and nationality at birth, parents' names and marital status, and details of siblings. They've also asked for details of marriages and civil partnerships, divorces and long-term cohabitation. Quite often they require lists of all the residences from birth, details of transfers of property and summary of residences that have been available for use. A little more complicated, Howard, is information regarding any exercise of political rights in any territory, membership of professional bodies, membership of clubs, societies, associations, the level of participation, details of religious and cultural and social connections, proof of the ability to speak, read and write in the relevant languages. So for those living in Spain claiming non-UK domicile, this would mean evidence of the ability to speak, read and write Spanish, details of any wills and the local law they are governed by, a summary of any deeds and declarations, and a summary of your professional and personal advisors, their services and location. Again, HMRC would be looking to see if they are all based in Spain. If HM Revenue and Customs were to query your domicile status, there will be the need to provide documentary evidence of all these things, and so I do advise that our listeners do ensure that they leave all this paperwork in order for their heirs or executors to be able to deal with if they're looking to be a non-UK domicile.
So I presume your estate planning will vary depending on whether you are a UK domicile or not.
Well, Howard, as part of your estate planning, domicile would need to be considered. For me, the first step would be to establish your estate planning objectives, Then look at how both the UK and Spanish rules will impact these intentions, because whilst you may be liable to UK inheritance tax, there is also the Spanish succession taxes and rules to consider if you have assets or beneficiaries in Spain. So you should therefore establish whether you are a domicile of the UK, what impact will this have for your beneficiaries, and whether it would be in your interest to lose this domicile. Assuming it would be, then it will be important to establish how you can lose it and create a plan to do so. At the same time, this will be a good opportunity to take into account the succession rules and taxes for Spain and to make provisions around these rules in order to be able to achieve your estate planning objectives.
What happens if you later change your mind? So you always intended to live out your years in Spain and structured your estate planning accordingly. But when you get older, you return to the UK after all. Do you have to redo your inheritance planning?
This is one of the reasons, Howard, why having established your estate planning, it is important to review it regularly in order to make sure that it stays current, taking into account any changes in circumstances and any changes in rules. It's also important to deal with an advisor or firm of advisors who, like Blevins Franks, are experts in cross-border estate planning and who can make changes and continue advising you locally, whether you are living in Spain or you return to live in the UK, as some expats do in later years.
So do you have any final advice for our listeners of effective inheritance tax planning in Spain?
Well, only that I would say don't leave it to chance. Domicile determination is a highly specialist area, and it is important to get professional advice in order to ensure that you get it right. To this end, should any listeners want to establish what their domicile is, or how they can go about losing it, or are looking to set up or review their estate planning, also taking into account Spanish succession rules and taxes, then they can contact their local Blevins Franks advisor via our website, blevinsfranks.com.
Many thanks, very interesting. We'll talk again in a few weeks.
Thanks, Howard.